All right, reading in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And so that's verse 30 of Hebrews chapter 11. Now, Joshua chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? Verse 15, And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Chapter 6, verse 1, And Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, ye, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus thou shalt do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great voice, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let's just remain standing for a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank thee for all these stories and historical events in thy word that help us to understand where we came from, why we're here, and where we're going. This event here in particular is quite amazing. That miracle that you performed and that can lead us and teach us to understand that you are able to win the battle in our hearts when we struggle with sin and temptations. We pray that thou would lead and direct the preaching of thy word this day, that you would direct my thoughts and words, that they'd be pleasing to thee, and that all glory and honor would go to thee, and that it would be edifying to us as a church, that we can apply it to our lives today and this week and the coming years. In Christ's name we pray, amen. All right, please be seated. So as I mentioned, Israel had been freed from Egypt. They had gone into the wilderness, and they were unbelieving that God could provide for them. They were saying, well, oh, we're going to die here in the desert. And yet God provided for them manna. In fact, the verse just before the section that we read, Joshua 5, verse 12, it says, And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So for 40 years in the wilderness, God provided manna. It was this white thing that came up on the ground every morning, except for on the Lord's Day, on the Sabbath. Today is the Lord's Day. The first day of the week is the Lord's Day. The Sabbath is the 7th day. That's Saturday. We recognize Jesus Christ fulfilled the Sabbath command for us in that rising from the dead, he became the Sabbath rest for all who believe on him. So people that do not believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, they still try to do the works of the law, and they think that Saturday is a big deal. No, but for a believer in Christ, this is what people are looking forward to for 4,000 years, was the day that Jesus Christ would rise from the dead. And that is the first day of the week. That's what we celebrate today. It's the Lord's Day. But the Sabbath, that was on a Saturday, God provided 2 days' worth of manna for people to gather on the Friday, so that on the Sabbath, on the Saturday, they would have enough. But now, no need for that. They are no longer in the wilderness. They are in the land of Canaan. Now, they had we've missed that story where they crossed over Jordan. Jordan was during and the flood period of the year. It was in the harvest time and time of the year when it was the water was of the Jordan was at its height. And God miraculously provided for them to cross over the Jordan. And here they are. They had spent some time in Gilgal, and now they're ready to face the first city here of Jericho. Now, Jericho was 5 miles, about 5 miles north of the Dead Sea, and about 5 miles west of the Jordan River. So if you think of the distance from the Wapiti River to the Aquatic Center, what is it called, Eastlink Center? So from the Wapiti to the Aquatic Center there, that's how far. So imagine 2.5 million people. That pretty much cover all of Grand Prairie and Claremont and living in tents, quite high density. Facing, having just come over Jordan, and now they face this first city that's walled up, and the inhabitants of Jericho were very fearful. Who wouldn't be? I mean, that's a lot of people. But they had heard about the crossing of the Red Sea. They had heard about crossing over the Jordan. And now they were well aware. They have heard about the God of Israel. And so they were shut up and prepared for a siege. Now, normally, men of war would go and say, okay, we'll build a ramp up against the city and we will try to invade that way. But God told Joshua through the Lord, in you see there capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's Jehovah, that's Jesus Christ pre-incarnate, that's before he became a baby and lived a life, sinless life on earth to die for our sins. Jesus Christ appeared to people in the Old Testament as in this case, it just says in verse 13, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And so this man said, nay. He said, no. He said, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. God comes on his own terms. He's not beholden to anyone. He's not for us or for our adversaries. The decision that needs to be made is, am I for God? Am I on the Lord's side? It's not what side the Lord is on. The question is, am I on the Lord's side? And right off the giddy up, right off the start, if you're not saved, if you don't even know what that means to be saved, you are not on the Lord's side. What it means to be saved is to recognize that God had promised from the very beginning that he would send a Savior, and that Savior did come. That Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given every person that's been born over these last 6,000 years, everybody since creation, everybody that's been born has been given the opportunity to choose God and to choose right. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whoever comes to God must believe two things, that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so the Bible is clear. If you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you shall find. If you knock, the door will be open unto you. And so people all over the world, no matter what circumstance they're in, we're told in Romans chapter 1 that by creation, people recognize the invisible attributes of God, that there is a creator. There is a purpose for humans. Humans are different than animals. Everybody in the world knows that. And it takes an amazing education system to try to convince people that they're not special. People by birth are known to recognize that they are different than the animals. And that God is the creator. There is a God out there. And so when people in ignorance call out to this God, this creator, God is faithful to bring the word of God to them. And that has just happened over these last 6,000 years in amazing ways, and is still going on to this very day. And so it's not a question of whose side is God on. The question is, am I on God's side? And so that's what this man is saying to Joshua. I'm not on either side. I'm not for you or for the adversaries. But as captain of the Lord, host of the Lord, am I now come? And so we saw Jesus Christ in Revelation. He is going to be coming to earth as this captain of the host, the mighty host of God. The host there is meaning the army of God, captain of the army of the Lord. And so with his angels and in Revelation coming with his saints, and yet it is God himself as the captain who wins the battle. And so here's something that Joshua and the children of Israel needed to learn, is that sure, they're a mighty group of people, and the people were afraid of them. The people of Canaan were afraid of them, as it says in verse 2 there of chapter 6. And the Lord said unto Joshua, verse 1 of chapter 6, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Now that the people in Jericho had heard that of the God of Israel, and so they were in terror. Earlier in chapter 2 of Joshua in verse 8, and the spies that Joshua had sent into Jericho, before they were laid down, Rahab, they had gone into the house of Rahab the harlot. She came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard, verse 10 of Joshua chapter 2, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites, and were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And then she says, verse 12, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. And so if you know the rest of that story, she let them down. They were able to escape. The men of the city were aware that these spies were in the city, and they tried to find them. She let them escape by letting them down by that red scarlet cord. And so then that was the promise that they had given. If you leave that scarlet cord out of the window when you come to take over the city, then we will spare you. We'll spare you and your family and your household. And so that scarlet cord, that is no small significance, the color of that cord. we recognize, how did it say in Revelation, how did they overcome the Antichrist? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And so, not by their works, but by the blood of the Lamb. There's nothing that she is, as a resident of Jericho, could be spared if it wasn't by the attacking army. And she knew that. And she knew that the Lord was on their side, that they were on the Lord's side, that they would have the victory. And so she understood. She was trusting in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She was trusting in the, in other words, in the blood of the Lamb that would come. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If you remember, God is outside of time. So when he says something, he declares something, that a Savior would come, it's as good as done. But in our situation, when he interacts with time, it has to happen at a specific time. Well, that's what happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ died for our sins. He shed his blood, his sinless blood, on Calvary, the only person ever to live a sinless life. And it's not because of that. It's because of his true nature as God Almighty, that he could give his life in exchange for the punishment that we deserved. We are all we like sheep have gone astray. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody has to teach us to be a sinner. Like when you're a baby and growing up, the parents learn that they have to teach the children to be good. Children automatically know how to be bad. And that is the nature that we have inherited from Adam. Adam and Eve got married, they came together and had a child, and that child was a sinner because the two of them were sinners. And so ever since then, everybody that's been born has been born a sinner. And so then every sinner that's been born has proven the same, has proven so by their thoughts and their actions. And so we're in trouble. We have a problem. We're sinners. And yet God has given us a conscience. The Holy Spirit convicts people of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And that is wonderful, because based on that, people recognize that there is a Creator. They call out to that Creator, and that's general revelation. And thank God they're directed to the Word of God. It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is the specific revelation. And Jesus Christ is called the living Word. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then it tells us who this Word is. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So yes, here she is, Rahab, letting them know that yes, we as a people here in Jericho are afraid of you folks, because we're afraid of the God of Israel. And we've heard how God has spared you in the past and given you the kings of Og and Sihon on the other side of Jordan. And so now this captain of the we know that this is the Lord Jesus Christ here pre-incarnate, because any place you've seen an angel, the angel, remember, like in Revelation, a couple of times John bowed down to the angel, and the angel says, no, not to bow down to him, because I'm one of you. Verse 8 of, you don't have to turn there, but Revelation 22, verse 8, and he says, I, John, saw these things and heard them, And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, See, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the saying of this book. And the angel says, Worship God. And so it happened, I believe, to Daniel, to John, to others who try to worship an angel, and the angel makes it very clear, don't worship me, worship God alone. Now, there were many people during the time of Christ that bowed down and worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ, and he received that worship and honor because he is God. And in this case, this captain of the host of the Lord, he did receive worship from Joshua. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? Doesn't that sound a little bit like Saul of Tarsus when he got saved? And he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And so, first he said, Who art thou, Lord? Because he wanted to know, Who art thou, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And then he says, What wilt thou have me to do? So here, very, very much similar, much earlier, about 1,500, 1,400 years earlier, he said, Joshua's saying the same thing, similar thing, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. And so, remember, Moses did the same thing with a burning bush. God told him, The ground that you're walking on is holy. Take off your shoes from off your feet. And so, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. And so there they were, closed up. And that's like a picture of sin. And one of the things that Jericho was known for was their temple prostitution. Their religion was full of all kinds of sexual perversion. And so it was not surprising that one of the houses that they came to, the spies had come to, was the house of a harlot. That's Rahab. And so here's a case where we've got people shut up in their sin. They recognize that there is salvation from their sin outside, and yet they hunker down and they're going to fight against this. But God knew the heart of everyone in that city. God knew what the heart of Rahab was. God knew what the heart of her family was. And he allowed that the spies would come to her house, and she was repentant. Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And so she was repentant. She was recognizing the Lord as God Almighty. And the promise was given to her, if they see that cord, that red cord, then they would spare that house from the invasion. And so that is what happened. Now we find here in verse 2 of Joshua 6, And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. See? He's standing outside of Jericho. He's seeing this big wall. Now Jericho, I told you, is like north of the Dead Sea. So if that might ring a bell for you. How deep is the Dead Sea? Like, I can't remember right now. It's like 1,200 feet below sea level. That's like really far down there. And it's not that far from the Mediterranean Ocean. I mean, this just always astounds me. But Jericho, 5 miles away from the Dead Sea, was on a high hill. It, being on a high hill, was 670 feet below sea level. As it is today, it's 670 feet below sea level. And so here we find a city who is deep in sin, and it could be really represented by that depths of sin. And here it's surrounded by this, it's at the crossroads, a trade route going east and west there. And so they had really fortified themselves, getting a lot of different traffic coming past there. And this is like 1,400 years before Christ. And actually, Jericho is the oldest city in the world, the oldest inhabited city, I believe. Or is it? You can look that up, oldest city. So here it had two walls, a wall in the inner wall and an outer wall. And these walls all added up from the base to a height of about 70 feet. The lower part of the wall was made out of stone and backed up by earth. And then the upper part of the wall, the outside wall, if I remember correctly, is 6 feet wide at the top. That was the outer wall, and about 29 feet high, built on top of the stone wall. And another inner wall that was about 12 feet wide, and so very well fortified. And we read that Rahab's house was in the wall, and doing their excavation, they excavate the northern part, and there some of that northern part of the wall did not fall, and so that's some believe that that is indicative of where Rahab's family was rescued. And so a really good message to us here. Now, what I was trying to get at here is that the Lord is saying to Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho. Well, Jericho is still walled up when the Lord is saying this. Well, he has to see it by faith. And so too it is with us. If you've trusted Jesus Christ for salvation, we believe by faith that God will win the victory in our heart, the battle that's going in our heart, and he will lead us on to victory, eternal life. Eternal life begins at salvation. And in your death or being caught up to be with Christ in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord, eternal life with God in heaven. And so without seeing it, we believe. And yet, he had reason to believe and trust God. And so too, we have reason to believe because of God's promises in the past. We look forward to all the promises that he's given us for the future. What is this battle? God wants to win the battle in our hearts. What is this battle?
Jericho is the oldest continuously inhabited city of the world.
Jericho's the oldest?
Continuously inhabited
city in the world. Yeah, okay. And so very, and it in it itself, a very wicked city. And here, destined for destruction. The Benjamites took it over later. Benjamin took over Jericho after the victory here, the tribe of Benjamin in Israel. But if we look at Mark chapter 7, and this in itself could be a whole series. Mark chapter 7, and starting with verse 20, and he said, and Jesus Christ is saying this, and he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Verse 23, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. You know how many in the world say, you're wicked because of your environment. The devil made you do it, or your environment makes you do these antisocial things. No, these antisocial things come from within, out of the heart of every person. And it's that people are able to exercise control over that, and yet not so much control is what we're looking for, is victory. Not a matter of grin and bear it, but a matter of actually having victory over all this sin. And that that whole thing, there's so much in the scriptures talking about all these wicked things that come from within, out of our heart. Why does it come from within? Because we are born sinners, and it is up to us to choose whether we will accept God's forgiveness for our sins and payment for our sins that he paid for. And in doing so, he gives us the Holy Spirit by which we can have victory over sin, not just reformation, but regeneration. Being a new creature in Christ, not just a person struggling their whole life to try to not show their total hypocrisy. And so, yes, God wants us to win the battle in our hearts that is going on. And so, what was Joshua to do? He was supposed to take the people and march around the city once every day for six days with seven priests leading the ark. And verse 6, Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and encompass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And so it came to pass, when he had spoken unto the people, that they did the same. And so the ark of the Lord, in verse 11, says, so the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. So they did that, and the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, what did they do on the seventh day? They walked around the city
seven times. And then on the seventh time, they blew the trumpet seven times. And then they shouted.
And yes, verse 20, so the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both men and women, young and old, ox and sheep, and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she had, as ye swear unto her. And so they did that. And so the Rahab the harlot was spared, and her whole household, all that was in there. So she had been not only saved, but she was a good testimony to her family and her neighbors, that whoever had come in to the house of protection was saved. And a very good illustration to us of certain destruction, because they knew that it was the Lord that was fighting for Israel. They knew that there was certain destruction. But what did they do? They just barricaded themselves in, tried to fight it on their own. But that is not a good choice. Surrender to God. That is the choice to be made. Be like Rahab, who not only was spared physical death, but would have eternal life. She's even listed as one of the ancestors of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what a tremendous testimony could be in your life. If you are not saved, you can get saved. And what a testimony, what a witness you can be, what? To what you've done, great? No, what did Joshua do there? Let's make sure we read that again. That's Hebrews 11:30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had compassed about 7 days. So, after they were compassed about 7 days. So, compassed about 7 days. So, what amazing thing did the people do? They obeyed. And it wasn't such an amazing thing, but obedience led to that amazing thing of the walls falling down flat. And the archaeological dig has really revealed something amazing. Those walls fell down outward. They were mud brick, the top portion, mud brick, fell down so that it made almost like a ramp coming up so that they could go straight in forward to the city and do what God had called them to do, to destroy everything there and not to take any spoils other than the precious metals there that they would then bring into the tabernacle. And so, what an amazing testimony. The cloud of witnesses, as we're going on about this cloud of witnesses, is not so much what they did, but what they were witness to. And we can just praise God for this illustration, because the illustration itself can show us the helplessness of sin and yet the salvation that's readily available. God knows your thoughts. He knows your situation, the difficulties that you're going through. And He cares about you. He cares about the sparrow. He cares about you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. And He cares about you intimately. And He's provided not only salvation, but for the believer, He's provided the Holy Spirit that can lead us into sanctification, to be set apart, to be holy unto our God. And so the battle that we fight is not a physical battle as much as it is spiritual. And the two verses for the week: for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So let's just thank God for this. And dear God, we thank Thee for Thy word and for this salvation that is wrought to us by the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins, shedding His blood for the payment for our sins. And how simple it is. It's a free gift of salvation. And just in gratitude, we desire to be free from sin. And in this life, You've given us the power through Thy Holy Spirit and the way of escape in every situation. We pray that Thou would give us strength to take that route. And Your yoke is easy and Your burden is light, albeit even though it is a yoke. Thou art our master, and yet You've said that we can call You friend. And so we do call on You, Abba, Father, just like saying Daddy, an endearing term to our Heavenly Father, if we are safe in Christ and have eternal life through Thee. We thank Thee for all Thy provision and for all Thy goodness to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.